Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is one of the leading cities in the nation that works to create a more welcoming space for arriving immigrants. The city is looking to identify the barriers for immigrants and provide assistance with them. Are you an immigrant to San Antonio? What was your experience like? What do you think should be changed? How do you think immigration has been of benefit to San Antonio? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also tweet at us at TPRSource or email us at thesource@tpr.org. And that call-in number, 833-877-8255, you can also text us at that number. We're joined now by Ruth Walsom, PhD, clinical professor of policy practice at the University of Texas at Austin, and a fellow with the Bipartisan Policy Center's Immigration Project, co-author of the July 2021 report, Towards a More Welcoming Community, Immigrant Incorporation in San Antonio. And Ruth Walsom, welcome back to The Source.
It's a delight to be with you this afternoon.
Also with us, Tino Gallegos, immigration liaison for the city of San Antonio. Tino Gallegos, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Ruth Walsom, as you looked at making San Antonio and other communities more welcoming to immigration, why is this a concern?
Well, it's one of the things that we at the LBJ School in our Immigrant Incorporation Project have been looking at how Texas cities are weaving immigrants into the community. And we've done studies of Dallas and Austin and San Antonio. And when the country admits immigrants to live here, it's always been the tradition of the United States since our founding that people who come as legal permanent residents are on a pathway to citizenship if they choose. And we've, at various points in our history, have had a rocky time of whether people are fully incorporated into the life and fiber of community. But it's an important issue right now because we've had a fairly large flow of immigrants in the last few decades. And we want to ensure that there aren't barriers in place that keep people that we've admitted to live here from being fully incorporated.
Tino Gallegos, City of San Antonio Immigration Liaison. How is the city of San Antonio, what is the role?
Yes, I think as Dr. Walsom mentioned, cities can play an important role in the incorporation of immigrants into the greater community. One of those primary roles is just providing that leadership community-wide. As you know, San Antonio has a lot of different institutions that touch our daily lives, whether that's our schools, our healthcare system, our hospitals, our police, and people who you may have interactions with in any of the offices where you have to conduct business, right? If that's the power company or if that's signing up for any kind of service, you're going to have an interaction with that person. So what we'd like to do in the city of San Antonio is remove those barriers so that people who come from outside of the United States, they choose to make their home here in San Antonio, can find those barriers removed for them and find an easy way of making those connections. And in the long run, it really benefits all of our community by having everyone on the same playing field, everyone having the same opportunities, and everybody being allowed to live their very best life and to have the opportunity to really reach their full potential as human beings. So that's really the concern that the city has, and it plays out in the economic benefits that immigrants can bring to our community. And if we can avoid any of the costs that would be associated with them not being able to fully incorporate into the city, that is also in our benefit.
So Ruth Walsom, we saw the census data. It tells us that Texas is growing. We're getting two additional congressional seats because of that. And much of the growth that we're having here is because of immigration.
Well, immigrants from abroad and migration from within, someone like myself who moved to Texas 6 years ago. So actually, don't forget that Texas's growth is also fueled by internal migration. But migration from other countries is clearly an important driver in the growth of Texas and in the economic vitality of Texas cities. There is generally a correlation between population growth, whether it's internal or international, and economic prosperity. That the fact that Texas is growing puts us at a decided advantage, particularly when there are other parts of the country that are losing population and the nation overall is not growing as fast as we might like it to. Population-wise.
Ruth, when you count immigrants, do y'all include refugees?
Of course. Yes. And in fact, in our research, we look at everyone who's in a city that's foreign-born. That would include people who've come as lawful permanent residents, and the country admits about a million lawful permanent residents a year. That includes refugees. It includes asylum seekers. It includes people who are here on temporary visas. You might be a high-skilled worker or a foreign student or an international investor that's actually in the United States for more than just a tourist visit. And it also includes people that are here out of status. The census data does not differentiate, some parts of Texas have become home to people who are out of status or who are in what I call kind of quasi-legal status. They may have something like temporary protected status or be in the process of applying for immigration visas.
So Tino Gallegos with the city of San Antonio, the number one nation of origin for immigrants living in San Antonio is Mexico. That should be a surprise to no one, 65%. I guess one of the biggest barriers in your reporting is that language is a problem. But I guess if someone speaks Spanish in San Antonio, they generally can find someone to help them out?
Yes, and I think that the city and many of the different institutions around San Antonio have done a pretty good job of trying to provide access in Spanish language. What we're really looking for as far as expanding and meeting the needs of our growing community of non-Spanish speaking immigrants is to expand language access to some of these other languages that our newer groups of immigrants are speaking. And then we've seen this in the schools where some of the ESL programs now specialize in some of the other non-English and Spanish languages, and they're providing ESL and other kinds of instruction in other languages that are not English or Spanish. But at the same time, I think that it is important to just remember that there are best practices around language access, whether that's English or Arabic or Tagalog. We should all be trying to adopt those best practices and apply them uniformly wherever a person has interactions with somebody and they're needing help, right? So it's very important, especially in the context of healthcare, being able to have the availability of an interpreter or translator, even if that person is going to be participating over the phone. It's crucial for somebody to establish that trust and to get quality healthcare. And it's always important to remember that immigrants, when they live here, they pay taxes, and so they do deserve to have the kinds of services that everybody else who is a taxpayer receives. And if that means that language access has to be a component of that, it's very important to guarantee that.
Ruth Walsham, entire industries and political careers are built around demonizing immigrants, and they're saying that they're not a benefit, and you're saying that they are. I mean, what are they getting wrong?
I don't quite understand the argument that immigrants, because we are a nation that is based on immigration. We were founded on people coming and arriving from other places, that it's not a benefit. I think when people, the most compelling argument is that immigrants in low-wage jobs might suppress wages. But one of the things that we find is that's not a problem with immigration policy, that's a problem with labor, wage, and hour policies, and whether we're in properly enforcing minimum wage laws and health and safety laws. So a lot of the things that get blamed on immigrants as being a drag are actually other policies that aren't being enforced. There's also a disconnect and a bias in some people's minds that immigrants disproportionately use public services, when all the research that I have seen and research that I've done myself has shown that foreign-born populations are less likely to use public assistance programs when I controlled for people that would be eligible, that is people that are at or near the poverty level, foreign-born people at that level are less likely to use assistance programs. The only exception to that are refugees who come in from war-torn situations. There are, and the federal government has funded these since 1980, refugee assistance programs that are federally funded to give refugees a leg up as they make that transition.
Those programs are not lavish. They're pretty slim. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue our discussion about San Antonio. It's a welcoming city to immigrants. Can it be even more welcoming? What are the benefits to this? Is this a sign of a healthy city that it is welcoming to immigrants? What do you want to see happening? Are you a new immigrant? Did your family move here from elsewhere? How did that work out for you? What's your experience been like in the city? What are the biggest challenges that you faced? Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back. Back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're discussing immigration here in San Antonio. Is San Antonio a welcoming city for immigrants, and how do we make it even more welcoming? Why is that in the city's best interest? We certainly want to hear stories from folks who have immigrated to the United States, to San Antonio. Why did you settle here? What have your experiences been like? What were some of the barriers? What are some smart things we can do to smooth those things out for other people? The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Ruth Walsum, she a co-author of the report Towards a More Welcoming Community, Immigrant Incorporation in San Antonio. Looking at the tax, you see, they're taxpayers. You're telling me they're taxpayers. That seems to be something that some people don't understand. They see immigrants coming to an area as someone who's not going to be a contributor in that area. What should we clarify?
Well, one of the things that where, in fact, Texas is at a disadvantage in terms of gaining taxes from immigrants that other states who have state income taxes, immigrants work and they certainly pay federal income taxes. And this is true, we know, of people who are here without authorization still are on record paying federal income tax. Because Texas does not have an income tax, it is missing that income that many other locales and states get from immigrants. So it's relying largely on sales taxes and property taxes. Now, we know immigrants certainly, like the rest of us, are consumers. So they are purchasing things. And many immigrants are homeowners and paying property taxes, certainly paying into rents that go towards property taxes. But other states with large numbers of immigrants see even more revenue from immigration because they have a state income tax.
Tino Gallegos, the City of San Antonio Immigration Liaison. So the city has set up these stations. I think there was one near the bus station. I think there's one at the airport now, helping immigrants who arrive in San Antonio, maybe people who have been released from federal custody. Are you part of that?
Yes, I've been a part of both efforts in 2019 and now in 2021.
What's going on there?
Well, for the most part, both of these efforts are to assist migrants who are transiting San Antonio, not necessarily people who are going to stay here and live long term. It is more of a humanitarian effort, and we do engage in this effort with several different nonprofit and faith-based organizations that assist in the work. So it is a collaborative effort. And it has been ongoing mainly because of San Antonio's location, close to the border and close to immigration detention facilities. Because we have people that are released from those facilities and released from Border Patrol custody, and they're traveling to other parts of the United States, often the first place where they can get onto a bus that will take them to their final destination or to a major airport is coming here to San Antonio. So the effort really has been a humanitarian aid effort to provide short-term housing, food, maybe medical screenings, and the kind of travel assistance that people need to be able to make it to their final destination. It is part of our compassionate city effort, but it's also very necessary, I think, for the people that are transiting the town, transiting San Antonio.
Let's go to the phone lines. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Are you an immigrant to San Antonio? What was your biggest challenge you faced when you came here? What do you think we should fix to make things go smoother? Let's go to Tim. Hey, Tim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was an immigrant in the early 80s from Southeast Asia. I don't think we're looking for handout. I started out as a housekeeper in a hotel and eventually joined the Marine Corps, served 9 years in the Marine Corps, went back to college with a nursing degree, bachelor degree of nursing, joined in the Army Nurse Corps officer, and to the rank of captain, resigned my commission, go back to school. Now I have a doctorate degree. I make six-figure salaries. I pay taxes. I also now own assisted living facility that I employ four people. I just want to say that give us a chance. We're not here for a handout. We're here looking for work, looking for a chance, looking for opportunities. And actually, when I came here, I'm looking for two things, and I found both of them, God and opportunity. That's all. I just want to leave that comment. Thank you so much for the platform.
Well, Tim, thank you for being so awesome. Appreciate you calling in. Ruth Walsom, do you have any reaction to Tim's call?
Well, I welcome Tim. I'm so glad he came decades ago, and am delighted in his success. He makes an important point that most immigrants are not, you know, they're not coming for a handout, as he said. People come here to work, they're enterprising, they're, want to be fully engaged. And that's why welcoming folks like Tim and others, Tim obviously had a very promising set of energy, attributes, and intelligence. So his trajectory was quite impressive. You don't all have to be Tim to be welcome here, but I am grateful that Tim came.
All right. So Tim told us this amazing story, and he says all we want is a chance, and that's all anyone can ask for. So give me a chance. Put me in, coach. Let me show you what I can do. So is the objective of cities trying to come up with a welcoming plan is to take this amazing human capital and giving them that chance and allowing them to reach their fullest potential for all of our benefit?
I'm not sure if you're asking me, but that's certainly my perspective on it. Yes. And one of the things I have found in my research thus far is that the kind of things, the kinds of services, programs, opportunities that communities provide for Tim are the same things that work for someone who was born here or, you know, is a long-term resident. It's just that level playing field, that opportunity to go to school, to serve our country in the military, to get additional education and invest. And what works for immigrants works for everybody. There are very, very few special services that immigrants need. The kinds of things that help immigrants thrive are the same things that would help any resident of San Antonio thrive.
And so, Ruth Walsom, do you see a city, if it scores well as a welcoming city for immigrants, what does that tell you about the overall operation of that city? Is that a health sign of a healthy city?
I think so, yes. And it's usually a city that's on the move. And when you look at it nationwide, it's cities that are working to improve wages, reduce the wage gaps across different sectors. It's cities that have solid public education, a good community college system and school systems, a welcoming place for any entrepreneur who wants to start a business, ways that an entrepreneur can figure out what are the government forms I need to fill out, do I need a license, all of those kinds of things that help people settle in. And it also, you know, we see, and San Antonio is pretty good on the neighborhood distribution of immigrants, but in some places, if you have a lot of segregation and immigrants find themselves in the marginalized parts of the city, they will fall victim to the same kinds of problems that other marginalized populations have when they're not near public transportation or branches of the library or quality schools or healthcare facilities. So it's some of the innovative things that other cities are doing to address this is to have community resilience hubs. And that's an interesting idea that's coming forward. Again, I don't see San Antonio as having some of the more severe problems that some of the other cities have.
So Tino Gallegos at the City of San Antonio, how does the Immigration Liaison Office, how do y'all come in contact with immigrants?
I just wanted to echo quickly what Dr. Wasson was saying, that really the kinds of policy that will the kinds of policies that will assist immigrants really are policies that assist everybody that's in the city. And some of the recommendations that we made in our report also have a lot of utility for the population of San Antonio at large. One of the things that she mentioned, hubs for identifying services, was one of the recommendations made in the report for making San Antonio a more welcoming city that our community put together. And this was put together before the pandemic. And during the pandemic, it served us well because that's one of the things that the city did, was to create hubs where people could find a way to connect to the resources that they needed that would help them through the pandemic. So the way that the Immigration Liaison Office typically works with our immigrant communities is we try to engage with stakeholders regularly. I've held bi-weekly meetings with our stakeholder population, and I think that's always been a really helpful thing to hear from
Right, and
people.
so I want to hear more about that, but I got to take this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. If you are an immigrant to San Antonio, what was your experience like putting down roots? What could have been done to make that go smoother? 833-TPR-TALK. Back after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're discussing immigration, incorporation in San Antonio? How does the city become a welcoming place for immigrants who come here? And if this describes you and your family, why did you come to San Antonio? What was your experience like? What could have been done differently that would have made things go more smoothly? The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Now back to Tino Gallegos, immigration liaison for the city of San Antonio. So I want to get a better idea how your office works and sort of the services that you can provide. I know that credentials, documents, ID can be a challenge for many people who come to the United States because that's now become such a focus of our society. You got to have the ID. But without having having some problems with your birth certificate or whatever can be a nightmare. So how does that become something they can work through?
Yes, it is an issue that's come up, I think, more and more. And a lot of people who are born in the United States and lived here our whole life, we kind of take it for granted that we have these state-issued IDs that people ask for everywhere. So the way that my office has assisted in this effort, we've kind of taken a dual focus here. The first one is to try and convince more of the institutions, again, that are out there in the community to accept different forms of ID that are not necessarily issued by the state of Texas or any other state in the United States. So this could be accepting the matricula consular that's issued by the Mexican consulate or a consular ID issued by the consulate of El Salvador. We've also looked into some other kinds of documents that could be accepted in tandem, right? So if you bring in a couple, two or three documents to establish your identity, and that would take the place of you having the state of Texas ID, which is a practice that actually the state of Texas has adopted itself when it comes to issuing IDs. If you don't have the ID necessary to get a copy of your birth certificate, they have a list of different documents that they'll take. So we think that should be a practice that should be adopted community-wide at different other locations, whether that's you trying to rent an apartment and they're asking for Texas state ID and you don't have one. You can use a combination of IDs. And this would include an ID, maybe something that's issued by the public library that has a picture on it, has your name and your address and your date of birth. So something that will help get you to enough identification so that you can start getting those kinds of accounts set up, opening a bank account, buying a home, all the kinds of things that you need to get your life started in the United States.
Ruth Walsham, I'm reading about the rise of hate crimes in the United States. Terrible thing. A lot of this is directed at immigrants. So are we seeing that, okay, in San Antonio? Is some hostility, aggression towards immigrants? And is that happening on a broader scale? What needs to be done?
Well, I can't honestly speak to what's going on in San Antonio from where I sit here in Austin, and I haven't followed crime data and certainly hate crime data locally. We do know nationally there's been a substantial uptick, including horrific mass killings of targeted at immigrants or people presumed to be immigrants, rightly or wrongly. And it's a deep concern. And the rise in hate groups is something that's being monitored on a federal level now as a serious law enforcement issue.
But Ruth, as you interact with in the course of producing your studies, do you ask the immigrants if they have a sense of fear or uncertainty about where they live now?
This particular project did not include a component where we interviewed immigrants. That's something particularly during COVID and a lot of when we were doing it, the surveys that we had begun in Dallas of the immigrant populations we pulled from the field because of COVID. And so I don't have that kind of data.
Let me go to another caller, and we have Jan. And Jan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm an immigrant coming from Mexico City. I came here with my family 5 years ago. We have been successful. We found jobs through the soon after. A couple of weeks ago, I was a volunteer at the airport for the immigrants that were captive because they were illegal. And something that I realized is that many of them, even though they have families, some of them, they really don't have a connection or somebody who will help them to understand where to find a job, what are the services that just as are available for people born here that they can use. I think it would be a good idea to let them know that they can go to the libraries, that they are ONGs like Catholic charities that can help them everywhere they go and give them some resources to be successful and not to fall in poverty.
Jan, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that. Tina Gallegos, Jan says, let them know about connections, let them know about resources at the library. And is that happening?
Jan is exactly right. One of the things that the report that we put together, our strategic plan, found that one of the barriers that people were facing was really just having that knowledge, knowing what is out there, knowing what's available. Oftentimes we'd have these meetings where we talk about the things that people needed, and some would say, we really need to have a place where people can find information about jobs. And then someone else at the same table would say, well, did you know that you could go to the library and find this? And I didn't know that. So it really is an issue of being able to connect people to the resources that are available. And there are a lot of people throughout San Antonio that do provide some excellent programs to assist immigrants. And at the same time, we're also trying to connect all of them together so that they themselves can make referrals between different agencies. So I think that that's absolutely right. And that's the kind of assistance that we need to see community-wide.
Ruth Walsham, how important is it that it's part of the city's identity? San Antonio, we can say we are a welcoming city to immigrants. Does that make a difference?
You know, I'm teaching a course on immigrant incorporation. It meets on Tuesday nights. And this was one of the things the students raised last night, is how important is it for the city's image to be seen as welcoming? And I think that regardless of where you sit, you like to be considered as hospitable, as welcoming. It shows that from a business point of view, of course, that's a strong branding thing to be a welcoming city. It shows you're interested in growth and entrepreneurship and moving forward. From a tourism perspective, it's certainly good for that to be welcoming, but also just, you know, what kind of people do you want to be? What do you want your community to be seen as? Someone who is friendly, is smiling, is treating people with hospitality, or somebody that slams the door shut, who doesn't, you know, is not open and inclusive. So I think we naturally gravitate as human beings to places that are welcoming.
But as we heard from our two callers, they want to work. they want to do well. They want to have some success here. And part of being a welcoming city, Tino Gallegos, is that there is economic opportunity here?
Yes, and I think that that's very important. I think that many people, when they come to the United States, they come here with the idea of reaching that American dream. And one of the things that I think that's important about the identity of a city is that, you know, San Antonio has, in many instances, stated its values clearly to both the community and to the world. We're a compassionate city. We want to be a welcoming city. One of the things that I think that's also important is how you put that into practice. So as far as people being able to have economic success, what we'd like to be able to see, and one of the things we'd like to work on here in our community, is to be able to fully develop people's potential. So this can be potential in things they've already studied, the education they've already received in their home countries. It could be developing the potential in what their dreams are when they came to this country. So I think it's important just to look at people as a whole person, and that there's lots of different ways that we can make an impact on their lives. And one of the things that I think definitely you can do as a community is just to state your values. And it's very important for that reason to state that we are a welcoming city.
And Ruth Walsom, what do you think is the number one thing that San Antonio can do to be better at welcoming immigrants?
Well, I want to echo what Tino just said. It's not just saying you're welcoming, it's putting it into practice. It's actually living that. And there are a couple things I think San Antonio could do that we found other cities comparable to San Antonio have done, and that's elevate Tino's role and basically have an office of welcoming communities and immigrant affairs. This is what Dallas has, Houston has, and other cities around the country more and more are actually putting these offices in place as part of their equity set of city programs. So that's something the government can do and show more in terms of showing more government leadership.
All right. Ruth Walsom, PhD, clinical professor of policy practice at the University of Texas at Austin, a fellow with the Bipartisan Policy Center's Immigration Project, co-author of the July report Towards a More Welcoming Community, Immigrant Incorporation in San Antonio, and Tino Gallegos, immigration liaison for the city of San Antonio. And this has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Jackie Velez and Xiaowen Chan. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.